you have your Bibles with you, I would love it if you would open up to Psalm 42. And if you have a paper version and you don't know where Psalms is, that's cool. Start in Genesis to the far left and just start turning and going to the right. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. It's a guaranteed way to always find exactly the passage you're looking for. We're looking in Psalm 42, and I just want to read that. I mean, other than that silly story, we're not messing around this morning. Because I think we're just going to go right to God's Word, because that's really what we need. And I believe God is going to do some incredible work in someone's heart this morning. So let's just read this together. It says this: "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how it would go with the throng and lead them into procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls, and your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? As with the deadly wound of my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you downcast, my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Father, we just come before you and just ask that you would teach us something new this morning. Jesus, I just ask that you would continue to refine our minds and continue to refine our hearts to make us more like you. Jesus, we ask for your guidance. We ask that you would be the one that is teaching us. Holy Spirit, be the one that is teaching us. I just give over this morning to you, and I ask that you would reveal to us maybe a mystery of yourself that we didn't once know. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. This psalm is actually really interesting, because most people believe it was written by a guy by the name of David, right? King David. Okay, this is the same guy, right, who slayed Goliath. This is the same guy. If you ever read about David, he is one bad dude. Like, he is a man's man. If you read about him, because he is literally taking lions by the scruff of their neck and, like, punching their lights out. Like, this dude was bad. Wrestling bears to the ground just to protect his sheep. Awesome man's man. Now, he's also the guy who was king. He was a musician, right? But he was also the man that took a married woman off a rooftop and brought her into his bed. Had children with her, and then ended up murdering her husband. Needless to say, David was a complicated dude, okay? David was very, very complicated. And what's amazing about David is that David, by God, was called a man after God's own heart. Even with all of with that rap sheet, God still called him a man after his own heart. Now, this is important because, see, no matter what David's life brought him in and out of, and wherever his life went, right? God was with him and called him a man after his own heart, and yet David struggled. David struggled, and we see him struggling here in Psalm 42. And I find this interesting because if you are reading your Bibles or see the very, very top of it, it'll kind of give a little bit of instruction or maybe some background on the psalm itself. Sometimes it will say written by David, other times it won't. But this one says, the title of the psalm says, written to the choir master, right? And this is meaning that it's meant to be sung not just in like a cave by yourself, but to the synagogue. This was meant to be a worship song in and with the church. This was meant to be proclaimed from the mountaintops for all to hear, not just for individuals. This was a maskil, which is an instructional ode to the sons of Korah. Now, it's funny because as Lindsay and I were kind of going over the Psalms, you know, which one do we want to choose, which one do we want to pick? And I was like, let's do Psalm 42. And he's like, awesome, we're reading that top, and we're going, who are the sons of Korah? No idea. And I kind of left it at that, but I was like, it kept eating at me, so I did a little bit of research. The sons of Korah are found in Numbers 27. Long story short, they were a family of great prestige and great wealth, and the dad, Korah, the patriarch of the family, allowed some very selfish, self-centered sin to kind of get in, and basically their family was destroyed. Now, the sons of Korah, were obviously Korah's sons, they escaped, and they accredited that to God's sovereignty. They said, by the grace of God, we have escaped, and so now we are going to commit our lives to sing praises, hymns, spiritual songs in the synagogue. We are going to become the original Jackson 5, right? Brothers coming together and basically saying, with all the talent that God has given us, we're going to give that back to God. I mean, okay, maybe not Jackson 5, Jonas Brothers. I see some younger people in the group, maybe Jonas Brothers. They're terrible. I'm glad they're broken up, but whatever. It's all good. That's my one tangent of the day. We'll stick with Jackson 5. But how does this song start? How does David start this song? It says this, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Where is that in our culture? Where is that in our culture? Somebody please tell me. I tried all week to find it. Where is that yearning to be in God's presence? Where is that desire to know and be known by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Where is that yearning in our culture today? See, it's important to note that David is actually writing this from, he mentioned in the psalm, from Jordan and of Hermon, which is about 164 kilometers away from the temple in Jerusalem. Right, Jesus hasn't come yet, so the presence of God is not instant access like we have now. Through Jesus, we have redemption and instant access to the Father in and through him as Christians. That hasn't happened yet. So the presence of God is still in the temple. It's still in Jerusalem. And because David is so far away, he is longing to be back with his community. I think as modern-day Christians, we may need to take some notes on this. We may need to take a few notes on what this looks like. Because do you long to come to church on a Sunday morning? Do you long for it? Like, are you counting down the days until you get to come back to SBC? Are you longing and yearning to be back with your community as a church? Does your soul become downcast when you take a vacation and you miss a Sunday morning and you're just, I want to be with my people so bad. And you are praying for them because you're like, God, just use them. Be with them. I am just hurting to be with them. Do we do that? Do we do that? And David goes on and says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. He's pouring out his soul and he's remembering. Now he's remembering how I would go with the throng or a crowd of people. This would be a large group of people. Lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. I always read that and say, it's okay to be loud in church. Okay, it's okay to enter in his courts with loud shouts and praises. So the neighbor's like, what are those crazy Christians up to again? Oh, they're just praising God. Like, can I get an amen, somebody? Like, it's just, yeah, we can be loud in church. That's okay. But he's thinking back. He's remembering from when he was in the temple and the glory that was experienced there. Because sometimes we need to reflect on what God has done so we can look forward to what he's going to do in the future. Let me say that again. Sometimes we need to reflect on what God has done so we can look forward to what he's going to do in the future. And we need to do that because sometimes we have to think back to when God has pulled us through, right? David is struggling. Maybe this morning you are here and you are struggling. You need to remember that you weren't always in this situation. God had pulled you through once before, maybe twice before. If you're, you know, maybe more of a, I don't know, at least once before he's pulled you through. At least once. Take heart once again. You may be struggling now, but he isn't going to leave you that way. It hasn't always been this way. It hasn't. And because of this, David cries out, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope, there's the instruction, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. We've talked about this before. We're all preachers in this room. We are. Sometimes you're preaching to an audience of one, you and a mirror, and that's fantastic. Spit all over that thing and preach to yourself. That's so good. Sometimes you are the only one that can pull yourself out of the depths. When you are in despair, sometimes you are the only one that can talk yourself out of it. Right? And I was just thinking about this. I was like, actually, you may be preaching yourself in the mirror, but if that's too difficult for you, that's fine. Make a video for yourself. I am being dead serious right now. When you're up here with God and everything is so good, life is just humming, you're like, woo! This is good stuff. Make a video to remind yourself when you're down here that it hasn't always been that way. That it's going to get better. It was once better. God is going to pull you through once again. He's not going to leave you down here. He's not. We must hope in God. He is going to deliver us from this hurt and pain that we experience in this life. Jesus never promised that this life was going to be easy, but he did promise that he would be with us. He never promised that it was going to be easy. Never. But why is David's soul so downcast? It's because he was far away from God. Physically. He was physically far away from God. And he had this weight of this separation because it was him and God. He knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. And so he is yearning to go back to that. But the only way you can yearn to go back to that if you experience it in the first place. You have to be close with God so you know what it's like to be separated from God. And I think sometimes we struggle with this idea of being back in the community, and we struggle back because, let's be honest, we're a really individualized culture. We're really, really individualized. And if it's not happening to us, if it doesn't affect us, I won't worry about it. Especially if it's not happening in our country, we could care less. I think at the end of the day, if we were all being honest with ourselves, when Steve comes up here and we come up here and say, there's still a 100% rape culture in Vicente Guerrero. That's why we've sent a team down, and we send teams down all the time. We have a dream center down there, but the rape culture is still 100% by the time a girl is 18 years old. We can feel bad about that. We can be sad about that, but that doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. Because all we're sad. If you've been watching the news and what's going on in South Carolina right now, and the prejudice and the hatred and the horrible mess that is going on in the states right now, in that state and alone, I mean, that's just one example. But it's not happening to us. Like, oh, it's great, I'll pray for him. That doesn't change anything. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what social status you have. Okay, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't make you better than anybody. Just because I have white skin and you have dark skin doesn't mean that I'm any better than you. It doesn't matter that, oh, well, I do this thing and you do that thing, so I'm better than you. We love to do a hierarchy with life, and I just want everybody to do one thing really quick. Everybody just do one thing. Breathe in with me. Just go. Maybe one more time. Just one more time. Just. I remind myself of this all the time. I remind my students about this all the time. Those two breaths right there and the ones that you're continuing to breathe, those are gifts. Those are gifts. Some of you may be thinking and going like, oh, I've got this life figured out. I've got the bull by the horns and I'm just killing it. I'm rocking and rolling, man. This life is all me. I've got this life. When I struggle, I pull myself out. I've done that. I don't need God. I don't need God. Okay, let's just go back then. Let's go back. Let's remember. Everybody breathe. That's a gift. You do not have to fill your lungs with oxygen. God does not have to allow that to happen. God does not have to allow that your heartbeat. You don't control your own heartbeat. You know that? You do not physically sit here and pump your own heart. God does. Think about that. So if it's a moment that you want to get super high and mighty and go, no, when I struggle, I got this. Just remember who's pumping your heart. Just remember who's giving breath into your lungs. And guess what? The moment that we want to, and this is for my brothers and sisters in South Carolina and anywhere else that's struggling, but we're struggling right here in this place, maybe we're having some issues with people, guess what? The people that you hate and despise, they're breathing the same God-given, grace-filled air that you are. Remember that. Remember that. That when you are struggling and you are in the thick of it, we need to remember and we need to hope. We need to hope that things are going to get better. we need to hope and pray that God is going to deliver us like he has before. Hope is something we're all desperate for. Hope is something that we cry out when all hope is lost. Right? God is our strength and our refuge. But that doesn't mean that we won't and can't struggle. This church, right here, these people, we are not perfect people. Can I get an amen? Right? We are not perfect people. In fact, if you're sitting in this room and you are a perfect person, we love you. This is not the church for you. Okay, this is a group of people that are not perfect. We are journeying with God day in and day out. We are doing our best. It is broken, it is messy, and sometimes painful, but it's all for the glory of God, and so we continue to move forward. In fact, how many of y'all have had kids, your parents? Okay, you've had like little kids at some point, right? There's nothing more painful than a parent watching their like 8 to 14 month child trying to walk for the first time. There is nothing more painful than when they're that wet noodle, when you set them up and they're like, hey, I'm stepping away, and they're just falling over and they're just like smashing their face on everything, and it's so painful because it's like, just walk. Right? It's a simple concept. Just walk. That's all you gotta do. Just keep yourself upright. But they just continue to fall and fall and fall. And God is the perfect parent. So every time we as the church, we fall, guess what? He's there to pick us up. He's there to encourage us. He's there to give us a little tap on the bum and say, keep going. Right? We got this. You got this. Hey, I'll pick you up. Let's go. Perfect parent. We are allowed to struggle. We are allowed, and even more so, we are going to struggle with some really, really like elementary things, and we're going to struggle with some really, really, really deep things. We're going to struggle to keep heart when times are tough. We're going to struggle to keep faith. We're going to doubt. We're going to fall into sin. We're going to struggle, but our instruction is what? Hope. Hope that God is going to pull us through. Hope that remember that he's done it before. He's going to do it again. The reason I know it's okay to struggle is listen to how David reacts here in verse 6. Where he just got done saying, why are you downcast, O my soul? He's preaching to himself. Why are you downcast? Hope in God. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. Holy cow, dude. Level out, please. Like, you are an emotional roller coaster wreck. One time you're up here, and the next you're down here. Figure it out. Therefore, I remember. So he pauses there. My soul is downcast within me. Pauses. Therefore, I remember you in the land of Jordan and of Hermon, of Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. Remember, this is a man called by God, a man after his own heart. And yet we see David in it. We see him in the thick of it. Right? As modern day people, we would be looking at what we could prescribe to him to make him better. We would be saying everything under the sun, please, please. His tears have been his food day and night. I think it's safe to say David's struggling a bit. I think it's safe to say that he may be in places that we haven't experienced yet. He is in it. But that's what's so good about our God. That he will meet us in the highs and he will carry us in the lows. He will meet us in the highs and carry us in the lows. That's why we need to center ourselves in our faith so that when we get low, we know that God is carrying us. See, because the world is always going to have a quick answer. The world's always going to have a quick answer. There's always going to be a 90 days to look like Brad Pitt, right? There's always going to be, do these 19 steps, and then you're going to be a multimillionaire. Just plug your phone number, social security number, or I guess not social security, sorry, SIN number, wrong country, my bad, SIN number, all of your information into this program that will get sent to us, and we will make you millionaires. You won't have to do a thing. Just send us all your vital information, including your credit card, please. There's always something like that out there. Trust me. There's always something out there like that. And the amazing thing is we keep going after it. Why? Because when we're struggling and we're in the depths of it, when we're in the thick of it, those kinds of things become extremely appealing. those get out of jail free cards, those really, really quick, simple, maybe like a little added sugar, a little sweetness, like, ooh, this would be great. Those becomes really, really appealing when you're in the thick of it, when you're down in the dumps. Unfortunately, those things are like salt water in the desert. The thirst only grows the more that you drink. The thirst only grows the more you drink. So how do you center yourself in faith? How do you center yourself so that no matter where you are on this emotional roller coaster, you can stay somewhat steady? You can struggle, absolutely, but you can remain hopeful. You can remain in this space that says, this is so hard, but God, you've got me. You've got me. This is really, really hard to say, but you've got me. We have to hope in God. We have to remember. You're maybe struggling now, but God isn't going to leave you like that. He wants you to turn to Him and find hope in Him. But notice this. Notice that help doesn't come to David right away. Right? He is 164 kilometers away, and it's not like he can just jump in a car, drive a couple hours, and be back in Jerusalem the same day. Doesn't work that way. This has been days, if not weeks, journey heading back to the presence of God. So help, right, his refuge, his yearning does not come right away. And there are times in our lives where we have to wait on God's timing, and sometimes that is just plain awful. We can say that in church. It's okay, right? Some of you are getting really nervous. It's okay to say that. Waiting on God's timing is brutal because it's not my timing. Right? I would want it so much faster because we live in an instant gratification culture. We're like, come on, I want this now. I would love a teleporter to take me from one campus to the other instead of having to drive and meet traffic and get frustrated and almost run over bicyclists. I would much rather a quick little, let's make this happen. Come on, church. Huge offering right now. No, I'm just kidding. That's a lie. I would love that. We live in this instant gratification type culture. But it does not satisfy, and we have to wait on God. We have to. As I was graduating from Bible college, I did some quick maneuvering and was graduating with multiple degrees and was feeling really good about myself. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. You know, 3 years in Bible college, 4 years total, I guess. And it was like, yeah, let's do this. God, I'm ready. I know you have given me all the gifts, all the tools, and I know all this Bible knowledge, and I just want to unleash it into your kingdom. I want to be used for you. I know you've called me this, and it was like, yes. So I started applying and throwing out resumes everywhere. I was like, all right, God, let's start somewhere pretty simple, maybe like 10,000 people in this church with all these resources so we can make huge impacts for the kingdom. Right? That was my bar. The only thing that was coming back to me were churches of like maybe 100. Right? Maybe 100. And so I was like, all right, God, I'll be faithful. That's all. I'll be obedient. And so because when you go and intern or work at a place like that part-time, it's really difficult to pay bills because you're already in ministry because Lindsay knows we're totally in ministry for the money. Can I get an amen? No. Right? It is a struggle alone just to be in ministry. But we were really struggling. We were really struggling. My wife was working really, really hard. I was working really, really hard. We were having kids. We were going, oh, is this going to work? And time again, God just kept moving us and moving us. And I'm just like, I don't get it, God. I'm so incredibly frustrated. I don't get it. You've set me up and you've declared in my life that you were going to use me for big things. And I know that because I want to be used for good things and big things. I want to be obedient. But what is this? Right? You start struggling there. You're down in the depths of it. Then I remember applying for a church in Bremerton, Washington. And if you've ever been to Bremerton, a little bit rough, but it's a great church. It was like 5,000 people, this huge church. And I was like, yes, here it is. Thank you. I waited on your timing. My bad. Sorry I doubted. My bad, God. Like, thank you so much. Because, woo, here it comes. All the promises. All of it's going to come in this one thing. It's going to be so good. Going through and Skype's interviews and phone calls and all this craziness, going to see the church and everything. It was like process was looking really, really good. They're like, hey, we'll call you in a couple days and let you know. And I was like, sweet, in the bag. They don't call me. Well, that's weird. So I call them up and I'm like, hey, you guys were supposed to call me yesterday. Like what, you know, what happened? You guys like throwing this like little surprise party for me? Like, is that what this is, right? You guys are gonna show my front door with a giant check saying, you did it, right? Like, that'd be awesome. And very, very candidly, lovingly, God was like, no, we went with this other guy. I was like, oh, like heart on the floor, like, you know, like, ah, weeping. And, you know, it's just horrible. Because, again, then you're up there and so quickly you can fall back down. But wouldn't you know it, later that same day, I get a phone call from a little-known church to me in Victoria, B.C., and it's Lynn Evans on the other side of the line saying, hey, we'd love to have a phone interview with you. And the rest is history. The rest is history. Because you never know where God is going to take you. Never in a million years. If y'all were in the 11 o'clock service, you heard my wife call me out on it last week. Like, never in a million years would I would have said, yeah, as a born American citizen going, let's move to Canada. Like, never. Like, that was not even on my radar. It wasn't. I was sooner rather to go to, like, Texas and hang out with those weirdos down there than I was to think of coming north. Like, was not in my brain. But the best part is that God was the one that moved us. Right? Again, I would have never have said, yes, God, this sounds fantastic. This is my will. But God says, no, this is my will. This is my will. This is how I'm going to pull you out of this struggle. This is how I'm going to take care of you. Remember all those little churches that you worked for? All those times where I pulled you out of this mess and that mess? I let you experience the good and the bad? Remember all that stuff? That was to prep you for this. Trust me. Trust me. And as we were moving here, I remember sitting back and looking back and going like, oh my goodness. Like, if I hadn't gone from there to there, well, then that wouldn't have happened, which would have not taken us here. And then that wouldn't have happened, which made us stay a little bit longer, but then move here because this was better, and then jumping around. And then you look back and you start remembering about what God has already done and brought you through. You begin to ask yourself that question, why is my soul downcast again? That struggle, you begin to pull yourself almost out of it a little bit more and saying, like, God has got me. I'm worth it to him. Look at all the stuff he's done. I am worth it in his eyes. He isn't going to leave me like a bleeding, bloody pulp on the side of the road. He's got me. We have to find our hope in God and wait on his timing. I know the struggle is going to feel like it's never going to end. Some of you this morning have maybe been in a struggle for a very long time. I promise you, it's going to end. And I can say that because God has promised it. He's not going to leave you where you are. Continue to journey with him. Continue to hope in him. And he will pull you out. Take heart. Take heart. We've said it before, we're not perfect in this room. But we're home. Amen? Somebody help me? Yeah. We're not perfect, but we're home. And sometimes if we're struggling, we talked about this last week, if we're struggling, we just need to look around the people right around us. And we really need to take to heart what Jesus has declared us and called us to do as a church, which is to love each other and bear each other's burdens. And guess what, church? That is hard work. That is not an easy task. That's not an easy thing to do. It is work. But I know in and through Jesus, we can do it. We're going to struggle. We're not going to be perfect. But we are going to be home. My prayer is that if you are struggling this morning, if you're in the thick of it as David was, if you're in it this morning, my prayer is that you would declare these words of truth to yourself and hear them for you now. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray. Father, we lift up those who are in it this morning. We lift up those who are hurting in ways that are maybe buried deep, deep, deep within. That looking at them, they may seem perfect on the outside, but on the inside, they are hurting and they are feeling the weight of the world on their shoulders. They're feeling like they're not worth it. They're struggling. Jesus, I pray that you would lift those people up. I pray that you'd begin carrying them as you already have. God, you're already carrying them. I just pray that they would feel your embrace and know that it's you carrying them. And that as we breathe, as we continue to just breathe and feel our own heartbeats, that we'd be reminded that you are the one that gives life. You are the one that we need to lean on, that we need to hope in. Thank you for the gift of life. God, we know we are nothing without you. That you make us whole, you make us who we are. So I just pray that we would begin to remember the journey you've brought us through, the love that you have for us, and know that you're not going to keep us as a community right where we are. You're going to continue to journey with us as we walk forward in obedience. The great comforter, I ask that you would hold those of us this morning who are struggling and feeling the weight of life. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.